Okay, sermon is entitled, His Love Endures Forever. You're going to need those four words later on in the service, so keep His Love Endures Forever in your head. We'll see how we do at the end of the sermon, see if you can remember. Because today is Palm Sunday, and every year we have Palm Sunday just before Easter, and then you say, well, do I have to preach on Palm Sunday? And to me, it's sort of, well, okay, so I don't usually preach Transfiguration Sunday. That's a Sunday. Epiphany, Pentecost. I usually don't do those, but I always feel like I gotta do Palm Sunday, because to me, Palm Sunday is part of the story of Easter. I just feel like Palm Sunday prepares us, gets us ready for Easter, because Palm Sunday is this opportunity to praise Jesus for what he's about to do. It's an opportunity to think about the praise that was poured out to Jesus on this particular time as he enters Jerusalem and the people shout out praise for him. So I think it's worthy of stopping to think about. Also, it is kind of a big deal because all four Gospels mention this event in Jesus' life. And if you look, you know, like different Gospels pick up on different themes, not a lot of Gospels have all four, you know, have the same story. And so, kind of cool, this is a story that we find in all four of the Gospels. So they make a big deal of it. Usually, this story is immediately after this. Jesus goes into the temple and he clears the temple. And so when Palm Sunday comes, as a pastor, I'm always like, okay, am I going to talk about the triumphal entry today? I'm going to talk about clearing the temple? Last year, I think Kyle spoke. I think 2 years ago, I tried to do a bit of both. But today, I just want to just focus on this idea of the praise. Praising God. I want just like this sermon just to be a sermon of praise for God, for who he is and what he did. So that's what the focus is for the sermon today. And I think it's good to sort of stop and think about what happened in the story. So I'm going to read the story. I did something, I don't know, is this allowed? I amalgamated Matthew's and Luke's story. Mark and John don't really have a lot of unique elements. Matthew has some, Luke has some, so I put them together. So is that okay? Here is the story of Jesus' triumphal entry as told by Matthew and Luke. It says this, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. And what's interesting about that is that nowhere else in the Gospels do we have any record of Jesus doing anything but walking. We don't have any record of him getting on a donkey anywhere else in the Gospel stories. So why now? Why does Jesus choose this moment to get on a donkey and ride into town? And well, Matthew tells us. He says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And he quotes Zechariah and says this, say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Jesus knows that the people of Israel have all these messianic prophecies memorized. And as he rides into Jerusalem on this donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey, everyone is going to be like, do, Zechariah, this is it, he's the king, and they're going to be overjoyed. And so even though Jesus doesn't go around on donkeys normally, he does today, and to some degree, I think we've got to see that Jesus engineers this event. Jesus knows what's going to happen, and it's important for it to happen. It's important that this event happens, and Jesus arranges so that it does. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Quoting from Psalm 118. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, Even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You know, it's an interesting story of praise, and I think one of the things that makes it interesting is the people that are praising Jesus with this exuberance, and laying down their cloaks and the branches and shouting Hosanna. This is the same crowd that's going to be shouting crucify him in just a few days. Their praise is kind of misinformed. They think that Jesus is going to come in. Their expectation is he's going to be their new king, that he's going to overthrow Roman occupation. They're excited because they see the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, but they've got a way of interpreting it that turns out to be wrong. So their praise is there, but it's off base. But that's not important to Jesus. Jesus needed this to happen. As a matter of fact, he says, if they didn't praise him, the very stones would cry out. This event had to happen. And I think that Jesus humbled himself, came as a man, walked around the earth, and I think he didn't need it from an ego standpoint, but it needed to happen that we praised God for what he did, even while he was on earth. I think that was an important event that had to happen. And I think one of the pieces about praising God is they were obviously sinners. They were obviously misunderstood the situation. When we come before God, sometimes we feel like, oh, I've got to be right with God in order to praise him, or I'm not worthy of praising him, or I don't know enough about God to praise him, or what if I praise him wrong? And this just points out, none of that matters. Jesus needed to be praised, and even if people got it wrong, and even if they weren't worthy, even if they were having a bad, it doesn't matter. Jesus needed to be praised. Jesus is worthy of being praised. And so I think about the way God created creation and how I interpret the birds singing, the squirrels chattering, even the sound of the stream gurgling through. That's praise to God. That's how God created creation, and the sounds praise him. And so we don't praise God because we're great. We praise God because he is great. And nothing about our praise says anything about us. It says everything about who God is. And you know, I don't think that praising God, sometimes we say, I don't feel like praising God. I don't feel that great. I don't feel that happy. I don't feel like praising God, but that's what's happening to you. Is God still worthy to be praised? You know, yeah. And I look at Bible examples of, you know, I love when, you know, Peter and the apostles were first persecuted by the Jewish leaders. And the Bible says they praised God for being counted worthy of suffering for his name. And Paul and his friends get thrown into prison, and they're scourged, they're hurting, they're in prison. And they stop and they praise God. And I think it's counterintuitive for us. It's not what we naturally want to do, but I think there's a tremendous help, a release that comes with that. And you know, maybe I haven't done a whole ton of times in my life, but there have been times in my life where I've been really kind of down and had an opportunity to stop and just start praising God. And I remember the first time I did it, and how awesome it was for me, and how it helped me a lot. And so I'll just tell you that story real quick. So when I was a young man, I wanted to be a missionary pilot. And in order to be a missionary pilot, you had to have your aircraft mechanics license. And I am You know, in high school, I was, you know, like the science geek, okay? I never even changed the oil on my own car. I was not, you know, handy. But I wanted to be a missionary pilot, so I went and I went to school to be an aircraft mechanic, and I got my first job at Hamilton Flying Club. And I didn't know anybody in Hamilton, and I was making $4 an hour. Okay, I was making minimum wage, and in order to survive, I worked as many hours as I could. I was working 50, 55 hours every week. I couldn't afford my own place. I rented a room from an old lady living in the town right by the Hamilton Airport. And I didn't have a life. I didn't know anybody. I just remember feeling, and it was hard. Like being an aircraft mechanic for me, when I started, was really hard. I wasn't really gifted at this. Now, one of the really cool things that happened through that, like I ended up being an aircraft mechanic for a number of years, and I actually got half decent at it. And today, I would say that I'm reasonably handy, and I will try anything. I've fixed dishwashers and washing machines and cars and just done all kinds of things. I would have never done that, but you know, sometimes you have to go through hard things. But I was just at the start of going through hard things, working at Hamilton Flying Club. And I just remember, like, I didn't have friends. Life was going to work, working, coming home. I was down. I was really, really down. I think it was the lowest I'd been in my life up to that point. And I remember going for a walk and just like pouring out my concerns to God. And just suddenly having this tremendous feeling like this is a season and God's gonna turn this around and this is gonna change. And suddenly I just started praising God for what he was gonna do. And I just remember this wave of, yeah, God is good. And this is like, life is gonna change and I'm getting ready to be a missionary pilot and this is one more step. And I just remember feeling this and I just praised God. And it just lifted my mind and heart so much. And a few months later, I got a better job working at Toronto Airport. I ended up renting a townhouse with two other guys. We had a blast. And life changes. And sometimes you stop and you kind of praise God. I think that as Crossroads, we need to praise God for what God is about to do at Crossroads. I really believe that we're on the verge of God doing amazing things here. Can I share a dream? I'm not saying this dream is prophetic, okay? I'm just gonna tell you it's a dream, okay? But I was dreaming, and we hired a new pastor, an executive pastor, to do all the stuff that I don't like doing. I was talking to him. I said, well, we need to find a worship space that we can, a bigger worship space. I said, I think we need to find a space that can seat 200. And he looked at me and said, not 200, 400. And so there's my dream. I don't know. but like I said, maybe not prophetic, but I do believe that God has great things in store for Crossroads, whether it's numbers or whether it's just ministry to the people that are here, I don't know. But let's praise God for what he's going to do with Crossroads. Now, does God need praise? It's one of those things that we sound like it. People who aren't Christians sometimes say, well, why does God need that? And I would say God doesn't need that. It's not like God's some egomaniac that praise me. It's not the case. But I think that our praise is a natural result of reality. It's when you recognize who God is, how great God is, it's natural for us to want to praise him. And I want you to think about how you react when you're in the presence of just another human being, but a human being that's famous, right? Have you ever been like kind of starstruck by somebody you've been in, there's like, whoa, look at that. I got to watch this happen one time. I was in a lineup, so I lived on Vancouver Island, and I was in the Shoppers Drug Mart in Courtney, and this lady, who I didn't know, was in front of me, and she was a little annoying because she was taking up a little bit more space. You know the conveyor belt? She spread her stuff out, and the little tent thingy, she put way back here, and I'm like, taking up a lot of space there. But the lady behind the till was like flushed, and she was like, oh, very, I don't know. She was clearly starstruck, and I thought, I don't know who this is. But as this lady finished and she walked away, I was sort of like, well, she was like, oh, I can't wait to tell my friends. And I'm like, why, who is that? She says, that was Kim Cattrall. And I'm like, okay. How many people know who Kim Cattrall is? Okay, so I was within a few feet of Kim Cattrall. Apparently a movie star, she's on some show, Sex in the City. Anyway, she lives on Vancouver Island, and there she was. For me, I remember being on an Air Canada flight and standing there afterwards, waiting for my luggage, and I look over and I see Brent Butt. That, right? Right? But I played it really cool, you guys. I was like, ooh. But I looked over, and he, like, we made eye contact for a second. And I was like really cool. I'm like, and he's like, but it was like, ooh, that's perfect. Anyways, but if we get that tied up and excited about being in the presence of just another human being, how much more that we can be in the presence of God? Like, if we are actually thinking about the idea that we are in the presence of God, shouldn't that lead us to be like, wow, God, you're awesome? Wouldn't it, if it's a, isn't it a recognition of reality? So I'm just gonna nerd out for a second, if you don't mind, and just praise God, just I don't know. I wanna think about some of his attributes. And one of God's attributes is that he is omnipotent, which means that he's all powerful. And so I think about God's power, and I think about the fact that he created this universe. This universe is like 93 billion light years across. I can't fathom 90. Can you fathom 93 billion light years? Here's a thought that came to me. In 1977, I was 15 years old. Voyager 1 was launched. Okay, and Voyager 1 speeds away from Earth at 61,000 kilometers an hour. That's fast. Voyager 1 has been speeding away from Earth at 61,000 kilometers for the last 49 years. That's a long time. It has left the solar system. It is now in interstellar space. Fun. It's still sending signals back. They didn't expect it to still be working now, but it is, which is really, really cool. How many light years do you think that represents? It's one light day. 49 years at 61,000 kilometers, and it is one light day away. If this gym from one end to the other was the universe, Voyager 1 has traveled the width of one atom. So to put into scale how huge, there are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. Like Milky Way, big as is, millions of planets, is one galaxy. There are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. So when we get to heaven, I think maybe God's gonna say, you get a galaxy, and you get a galaxy, and you get a galaxy, you all get a galaxy. Maybe some of you don't want a galaxy. I think it would be cool to have a galaxy. And what I could do with various planets, I don't know. But that's how big God is. It's mind-boggling how big it is. And that shows how amazingly powerful our God is, that God could create that galaxy. And so I always think that it's interesting that the more we learn, the more we know, the more likely we're gonna start getting full of pride, look what we know. But the more we learn, the more we know, the bigger we see that our God is, because our understanding of the universe just keeps expanding, and we have a God that created this universe. That's mind-boggling. Okay, let's talk about God is not only omnipotent, he's omniscient, which he knows everything. Oh, there's Voyager 1. All right, missed that slide. Anyways. Let's talk about how amazing God is and what he knows. Like, God created all of this. He created atomic structure. He created all the sciences. He created everything. And I think about Earth, you know, I'm one of these people, so some people think that there's a lot of planets that are going to be fairly much like Earth. I don't believe that. I think Earth is what's called a Goldilocks planet. It's just right. And the Earth is just the right distance from the sun, and it turns at just the right speed. We're kind of like a rotisserie, right? Yeah. If we didn't turn, we'd overheat really, really quick. So we got to turn, but we got to turn just at the right speed so we get enough heat, but not too much heat. And so God placed us at the right distance from the sun and turned us at just the right speed. We've got water. 70% of the Earth's surface is covered in water. That really helps moderate, mediate temperature. That's why we're so blessed living close to the coast. We have such a moderate temperature compared to people in the prairies who have to deal with the hotter summers and very much colder winters. And so we're very blessed here. But God created all of this to manage the heat, to manage. And you know how much energy comes from the sun? All the energy that humans need for a whole year, like to run our factories or our homes, our cars, our airplanes, our boats, all the energy that the whole humanity needs for a year is how much energy comes from the sun in 1 hour. Okay, that's how we're getting a lot of energy from the sun, and the Earth uses that energy to power our weather, to power life, to do all this cool things. And God created it that way. God created all these different systems on this planet. Even as we abuse this planet to a great degree, it's still hanging in there, still managing for us. I don't know how much longer, but thank God that God created it with so much flexibility. So much redundancy. That's really, really cool. When we're down in Mexico, you know, it doesn't rain as often there, and you see how much dirt gets accumulating on the trees and on everything like that. It's cool to see how rain, I know we've been getting a lot of rain, but it does water the earth, but it also washes it. When I was in Niger, you know, you didn't get rain for 9 months of the year, and everything would get this filthy, dirty, dingy look to it, and then it would start raining, and when it did rain there, it poured hard, and you'd get up the next day, and everything looks so much brighter and cleaner and nicer. The first time I went, so I was there for a whole bunch of months flying around the desert, and we hit the rainy season, and I went flying a week later. I almost got lost. Everything looks so different, all this greenery and beauty, and like that life could come rebounding so quickly with some rain. Like, wow, God, you are incredible. You created this amazing, amazing planet. And so God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, but God is also, and I think this is so important, God is also good. He provides for us. He's good in the sense that he gives us good things, but he's also good as in he's righteous, and he knows what is good for us. And I can't help but think about Jesus as he approaches Jerusalem. And he's weeping for Jerusalem, and he says, if you had only known what would bring you peace. God knows what would bring us peace. God looks at our, can you imagine God looking at our planet right now, and then God's weeping, saying, oh, if only you knew what would bring you peace. But here we are continuing to fight, and we say, oh, war is peace. No, war is not going to bring peace. If only you knew what would bring you peace. And we know God's truth, God's way, is a way of love, a way of sacrifice, a way of you know, I know I'm a little naive, but I just think about, you know, the United States has spent $30 billion bombing Iran, creating enemies for life down there, and I know Iran's not a good regime, but the people are good. Imagine if they'd spent just 1/10 of that money doing good things for Iran, for the people of Iran, for winning relationships and friendships. Imagine how much good that would do. God calls us to a life of sacrifice. He calls us to a life of love, but he knows that that's the way that will ultimately bring joy and peace into our communities, into our life. And so Jesus looks at Jerusalem and weeps over Jerusalem. He knows they're going to get overrun by the Romans in just 35 years. And he knows it's because they're going to continue a path of seeking war instead of trying to live out his teachings of peace, of love to one another. So God is good, and we praise God for what he's taught us, even through, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount the last number of weeks, the goodness of God and how he teaches us that. So I want to do two things. I want to read Psalm 118, or excerpts from Psalm 118, and then I'm going to get Cameron to go around with the mic, and if anybody has something specific you want to praise God for, let's lift up his name in praise. And so if you have something, so I'm giving you a few minutes to think about something you might want to praise God for today, as we think about the people praising Jesus as he comes in, let's lift up his name in praise. But let's start with this Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is kind of right in the center of the Bible, and it's a cool psalm, and it's what they were quoting as Jesus rode into town. And so here's where his love endures forever is important. So when I go bing, I want you to say, his love endures forever. Can we do that? Okay, let's practice. His love endures forever. Okay, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Let Israel say,
his love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say,
his love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
his love endures forever.
Let Crossroads Community Church say,
his love endures forever.
Yes, when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. That's Hosanna. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to get Cameron to go on. Just put your hand up, and we will just have a few moments of praising God. And now we can have this awkward silence as everybody looks at me. Oh, we've got Nikki in the corner. Yes.
I just want to praise God for the fact that my parents are settling in to an apartment. We moved them out of the family home a couple weeks ago, and it's been a real process for them and our family, but God is good and they're getting settled in.
Awesome. We got Dave in there.
Praise God for the ability to enjoy the mountains, go skiing with my grandson.
Yes. Cameron, now Chris is up here. I think that was, I don't know.
Inspiring.
This is kind of carrying off what Jerry said, that I'm thankful for our, praise God for our rain. So it keeps us green, keeps everything growing. It's part of what Chilliwack's about.
I want to thank CrossFit for praying for my daughter, going through a lot of hoops that she had to for school, but she finished, she's completed, she one more test to do, but she's home and all is good. Thank you for your prayers, but God is good forever.
Amen, God is good. Ann, over here.
I praise God for the privilege of salvation. He has called me by name. He has called you by name. What a privilege.
Amen. How wonderful to know God. Just what a difference God makes just in my understanding of the world around me. It brings me peace every day.
This past month, our family has gone through lots of sickness. The family, our daughter's family next door, one after the other came down with a cold, cough, flu, diarrhea, everything. And I helped take care of them because Teresa still had to work. Then she was down, and so, and I relied on God to keep me healthy because I also had to work. And he blessed us with health, and he blessed me with not getting sick. And I really, really praise him for that.
Praise God for that. Okay, Kyle.
Just want to praise God. My dad had the cancer last year, prostate. Did the surgery, did the radiation, and a few weeks ago had a there's no cancer right now, so I praise God for that, and it's a gift for my kids, obviously, to have grandma around for hopefully a number more years, so I'm just really thankful for that news.
Awesome.
I'm really thankful, just always thankful, but reminding again, just having lost some people who are around my age, how lucky I am to still be here with my family, and really appreciate my husband and my kids, and for as long as I get to be here, I'll just be thankful for that. And chocolate.
And chocolate. It is interesting how perspective changes things. So my dad passed away when he was 40, and I was always worried that I was going to die at 40 because my dad did. I've lived somewhat past that, and I still consider every year a blessing that because you just never know. And so it's a blessing that God leaves us here, and a blessing actually to be taken home as well if you know the Lord. Well, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll get Tony and crew back up to lead us for one more song. Oh Lord, we want to lift up your name and praise you. You are great beyond our understanding, our imagination, that you are powerful enough to have created this universe, smart enough, all knowledgeable enough to have been able to come up with all the design. You know our hearts, you know us completely, and you love us in spite of who we are. Lord, you know our hearts, and you continue to love us and extend us grace and forgiveness for that. We just lift your name up in praise. Thank you, God, that we know you, that you are in our life, and teach us every day great and new things. We just lift up your name, thank you, and praise you, and let us now praise you in song. In Jesus' name, amen.